Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Hi, Ash.
Hello.
Today we are going to be previewing the Grand Prix at Monaco, also known as the Tag Heuer Grand Prix de Monaco Formula One 2025 or some shit. Anyway, we're talking Monaco, the most iconic Grand Prix in Formula One history, probably the most boring race. It's definitely a qualifying race, more or less given, you know, a few things here and there. Qualifying essentially sets what the finishing order of the race is. Not a lot happens. Big cars, narrow streets. You know how it goes. But let's talk about it, shall we?
I feel like you summed it up pretty well. I'm not...
All right. That's it. Thanks so much for listening, folks. What is more synonymous with Formula One than Monaco, right? What's interesting, if you've read The Formula, which is an incredible book, Monaco and Monza, I believe, pay like a heavily discounted rate to Formula One to run a Grand Prix just because of how iconic and synonymous those locations are on the Formula One calendar. Ah, didn't know if you knew that.
Fun fact right there.
Anyway, let's talk Monaco. 78 laps over 19 turns, 2.07 miles, 5 miles per lap. The first F1 race in Monaco was held in 1950. A reminder, in September 2022, race organizers signed a new deal to keep the Monaco Grand Prix on the calendar until 2025. Race organizers then signed a longer-term deal in November 2024, which will keep Monaco on the calendar until 2031. Under the new deal, the event will move from the final weekend in May to the first full weekend in June each year. And what was also very interesting is for a very long time, the Monaco Grand Prix ran their own broadcasts, which I think famously was not very good. And now Formula One handles it, and it's much better coverage.
It is going to ruin my Memorial Day weekend, not being able to wake up to watch Monaco, Indy, and the Coca-Cola 600. But alas, F1 will do what they want.
They're going to play by their own rules. The lap record in the Formula One Grand Prix was set by Lewis Hamilton in 2021 with a 1:12.909. Lewis Hamilton is one top three finish away from equaling Ayrton Senna's record of 8 podium results at the Monaco Grand Prix. Should Lewis Hamilton record the fastest lap at the 2025 Monaco Grand Prix, he will equal Michael Schumacher's record of 5 fastest laps at Monaco. A win for a Mercedes-powered car would see Mercedes equal Ford Cosworth as the most successful engine manufacturer at Monaco Grand Prix. I like those odds. Like, half the grid is using Mercedes power units right now. Charles Leclerc could become the sixth driver to have taken 4 pole positions at the event. We no longer have to talk about the Monaco curse, thank God, since Charles Leclerc won last year.
I mean, it could start again, can't it?
I guess, but I mean, he's already won it. It's like nobody talked about the Chicago Cubs or Boston Red Sox curse after they won. So I don't think it'll be a storyline anymore.
Unless it doesn't happen again for a long, long time. And then we can just come up with a new curse.
Perhaps. But let's talk storyline, shall we, Ash?
Let's do it. The FIA has the new mandatory pit stop rule requiring 2 pit stops to impact race strategy and create more drama. And this is regardless of if it's a wet session or a dry session. You are going to be stopping 2 times in the car. Pirelli's also bringing their C6, which we know how much I loved it from our previous episode. So it's going to be C6, C5, and C4 will be your soft, medium, and hard, respectfully. James, you hinted about this or joked about this, and we all know how narrow the track is. Nelson Piquet memorably said that driving around Monaco is like riding a bicycle around your living room. So qualifying is very, very important. And though it's one of the slowest tracks in the F1 calendar, we know the insane amount of crashes and incidents it does produce. Jenson Button 2003, recently Sergio Perez, etc. So a high likelihood of a safety car.
Also, the movie Grand Prix, I don't know if you remember that, when James Garner ended up crashing his car into the water.
Hopefully that does not happen.
Do you remember the 1966 film Grand Prix?
I do not. I was not. Did not watch it.
I know you weren't alive then, but you can still watch it. It's available.
I can only watch movies from 1992 ahead.
It's a great movie. So, caveat. I say it's a great movie because the race footage is incredible. I would say the dialogue and like the story isn't the most exciting, but the race footage is amazing. They filmed in Monaco. They filmed at Zandvoort. They filmed at Spa. There's a lot of things that happen in the movie that are still relevant today. There's like a driver's meeting in the movie in the 60s, and they're talking about how unsafe it is to drive at Spa in the wet.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. It's a great movie. You should go see it. But there's a scene where James Garner is driving in Monaco and he crashes and the car lands in the water. But are we getting into predictions? Or we have more storylines to talk.
I would want to talk about Ferrari doubling down on what they've done, right? We want to see that trend of them improving. We want to see Williams clinch it and have a really good Sunday and lock in there. We want to see Oscar Piastri do better, according to him. Yeah. Considering he got P3, he wants P2, P1. But this is Monaco? So qualifying, outright raw qualifying pace is what we're talking about here. The race pace itself when you're behind the cars and then stuck in traffic and then the two-stop strategies. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah, is the two-stop strategy this year or is it still going to be a one-stop?
It's this year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to see how this new two-stop rule will sort of change things up. I hope it changes things up, or it'll just be the same thing that we've seen before with the one-stop rule, and it's just they just have to do it twice. I don't know.
It's going to be a gamble considering the high likelihood of safety cars, right? And we've seen how last week's Imola GP kind of the timing of the safety cars, excuse me, and when certain drivers pit, like Carlos Sainz, etc., screwed them up for the rest of the race. So, yeah, those kind of variables and uncertainty will definitely come into play. And then if people are going to try to undercut and then someone's going to react and it's a back and forth. So, yeah, two stops will create some sort of drama at play. But if you got a really good strategist and your outright pace is pretty good, then.
I learned this a few years ago from a video from Christina Lee Mace, who is a great motorsport content creator. Make sure to follow her on TikTok or Instagram. F1 cars at Monaco often have a faster steering ratio, meaning the steering wheel turns more for the same amount of wheel turn, allowing the drivers to make tighter turns with less input to the steering wheel. And the steering lock, or the maximum steering angle, is also increased at Monaco to allow the drivers to turn the wheels more sharply, especially through the tight corners like the Lowe's hairpin.
That is a good fact.
Yeah. So shout out to Christina Lee Mace for talking about that last year and teaching me something.
Let's do predictions.
Because we got the Indy 500 we need to talk about as well. So let's make this, let's keep it right. Keep it right.
I'm going to go real hard and real left in honor of the Indy 500.
All right. Let's do predictions. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to?
I'll go. I'll have Max Verstappen at P5. Last year they didn't have a good job at Monaco, a good time, excuse me. So I think this year will be another struggle. P4, Charles Leclerc. P3, George Russell. P2, Lando Norris. And P1, I just think Oscar Piastri is going to crush it at qualifying and crush it here at the race.
All right, I'm going to switch things up a little bit for my top five predictions. And this is recency bias based on how he qualified at Imola.
Okay.
I'm putting Fernando Alonso, P5.
I'm cool with that.
Charles Leclerc, P4, Max Verstappen, P3, Oscar Piastri, P2, and Lando Norris, P1. And I'm putting Lando Norris, P1, because I keep predicting that he's going to win, and he doesn't, and he's bound to do it at this point.
Just keep putting him P1 for the rest of the... He's not racing anymore when we're doing this podcast in 30 years. Just Lando exactly. Norris, P1.
But I do think the McLarens are gonna lock a 1-2.
You don't think any of the Mercedes are going to... Or the Williams, just Aston Martin, just Fernando Alonso, doing Fernando Alonso things.
Fernando Alonso up there. He's going to, I remember he was on the podium 2 years ago. He finished P2 behind Max, and that was also the year Esteban Ocon and an Alpine ended up P3. Esty Bestie on the podium, baby. Yeah, I think I this is wild. I could be so wrong, but I just have a hunch Fernando Alonso.
Well, the wild thing is we can all just be disgustingly wrong on all our predictions. There could be a red flag. We'll have to move up. Like something happens and then it just is what it is for qualifying and then it is what it is for the race and the two-stop strategy, et cetera, et cetera. So this is really a wild card race here.
Sure is. It sure is, Ash. Back to you in the studio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
But now let's talk about Indy 500.
I'm so you and I love you, Indy 500.
I am so pumped. You and I are both going to be there, which is very exciting. I'm going to be there with Arrow McLaren. You are going to be there with Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. You're going to be hanging out with the Mountain Dude.
Yeah. Hopefully Erin Andrews. She's going to be there too. And she's really cool.
Cool.
I love Erin Andrews.
That's awesome. But let's talk about some of the storylines in the Indy 500. We talked about qualifying in the previous episode. Let's talk about storylines for the race. Joseph Newgarden has the potential to be the first driver ever to win 3 Indy 500s in a row, which has never been done.
Yeah, but now because of that Penske penalty, as we talked about in the previous race, for those of you who, just a refresher, Penske cars number 2 and number 12, which is Joseph Newgarden and Will Power, will now start 32nd and 33rd on the grid for the race. Mm-hmm. They received the penalty because their teams messed with a part on the car that it's a spec part and it's very black and white against the rules to do that. So that is their punishment.
Yeah.
Their strategists now are also banned from the Indy 500, have been kicked off the team. They're going to have to change their setups drastically to account for running in bad traffic when they spent all month kind of honing in on a setup design based around air they experience closer to the front. Winning from 21st and back has happened like 14 times in 108 years of the Indy 500. Okay. The furthest back anyone has won the Indy 500 is 28th, and that was in 1936.
That's back when they raced against plumbers and firemen.
So, yeah. And a bunch of those, yeah, were before Rio even broke the 150 mile per hour lap average. So it's been quite a bit before anyone has won from that far back. So, yeah, he has a potential for a three-peat, but it is very, very low odds.
For sure. Then we have Alex Palou, who has been so dominant this season. He has, like, a 97-point lead in the IndyCar standings. More or less, probably has the season championship, like, locked down. I know it's early in the season, but the form that he's been in, like, I don't think anybody sees anyone contending with him to win the season championship. However, has never won a 500 and also has never won on an oval.
Which is wild. He's pulled the Indy 500, but he's never won it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's wild for someone who's so good that an oval still give him a little bit of trouble.
Well, it's interesting, Liz, because I'm not going to compare him to Scott Dixon like for like, but Scott Dixon has won the IndyCar championship 6 times. Mm-hmm. Has only won the Indy 500 once.
All right, so Palou's going to win 3 more times. And then we can do that comparison on stats. And then we can all talk about it someday on IndyCar Podcast. Perfect.
Then we got Pato O'Ward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, close to winning last year. And I'm sure he's pretty motivated to do well. He lost to a last lap pass from Joseph Newgarden in 2024. And he's always been close, but no cigar. The bridesmaid, never the bride. The second banana, the Robin to Batman. So he is hoping that this is his year for the Indy 500 win.
I'm going to make a crazy claim. I really think Pato O'Ward is going to win the Indy 500 this year.
Well, now talking about the Penske's back there, right? Those were his biggest competition, like really big competitions. Don't get me wrong. I know the front row is pretty stacked. We have previous winners in the first 2 rows even then, but he's up there, right? He's up there in the front row. He's got a good chance. McLaren knows what it gets to win. Knows what it takes to win. Or be close to winning. Last lap pass. Like, come on. Yeah. So they can definitely do it.
I think he's going to pull it off, especially now with the Penske's in the back of the field and mm-hmm. Scotty Mac starting all the way back in P12. I think it's his year. This year's our year.
Yeah.
As I'm wearing Arrow McLaren gear.
Yeah, wait a second. A little suspicious, James. James, why do you say this for people who are not visually looking at this podcast currently? Please tell me.
I am wearing an Arrow McLaren hat and an Arrow McLaren hoodie, and I will be attending the race with Arrow McLaren.
He actually has a paddle award tram stamp just for the Indy 500.
Shout out to Benito Santos for inviting me and making it happen. He and Tony Kanaan are invited me out there, so I'm very excited to see and experience what the Indy 500 is all about.
By the way, I love Tony Kanaan. I don't know if I've ever told this story to you.
Yeah, no, tell me.
Tony Kanaan is such a nice person. So Tony Kanaan, when I first started streaming, like I was a wee lass.
Yeah.
4 years ago, I was doing some sim racing, and I was kind of just like joshing around on the F1 game. And he said, and he comes into my stream, but I didn't know it was the Tony Kanaan. It had his name. And we were like, oh my gosh, are you the real Tony Kanaan? He goes, no, I'm just a big fan of Tony Kanaan's. I'm like a cab driver in Brazil. I'm just a big fan of Tony Kanaan. And we're like, well, hilarious. Welcome on in. You know, whatever. Gives me 5 gifted subs on Twitch, you know. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And he's like, I hope you're enjoying racing. You know, it was so nice to chat to you guys. Little did I know it was the real Tony Kanaan. Right?
How did you find out it was him?
Someone mentioned it, that they went then on his channel, because I was streaming, so I couldn't like click on his name, go on the whatever. Someone went on his, and they're like, that's the actual Tony Kanaan. I was like, no way. And then I stopped by his chat one time when he went live, and he's like, hey, Ash, like, so nice to meet you. You know, I thought your stream was funny. And yeah. Then eventually, like, I'm hanging out in his chat from time to time. He remembers me every single time. So sweet. Mm-hmm. And then he gifts me 3 months of iRacing for free. Wow. And he goes, I think you would enjoy this. Please, like, consider it. Try this. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, no. But here's 3 months of subscription of iRacing if you like it. And
that
that's
changed
when
the game for you?
And then, yeah. And then I started streaming a lot of sim racing, which is kind of how I built my community, how I got to meet other drivers like Daniel Morad, and just kind of, you know, build a community from racing the Daytona 24 on iRacing, which is one of iRacing's biggest events. And then...
Have you ever met him in person?
Yes, I got to meet Tony Kanaan multiple times in person. He is so... Every time I'm on a racetrack... Always says hello. When I went to the Indy 500 for the first time, he got me the little badge you need to get into the garages and stuff. And then I was just standing out there. I just waved. I said hello. And I knew he was busy, right? This dude's about to race. This man is about to race the Indy 500, okay? He waves me into his garage. He's like, how are you doing? Do you have everything you need? This is the Sunday before he's about to walk out with his family. He asked me how I'm doing and make sure I'm all set for the day. And I was like, Tony.
That is wild.
He is such a nice man. I cannot get over how kind Tony Kanaan is with his time and like making sure people just love sim racing, love IndyCar. I mean, and obviously how good he is as a team principal and racing. That's beside that. And this is in addition to, it is wild to me that during the Indy 500, the morning of, this man is making sure that I am okay. And like he's like that with everyone.
That's wild.
Making sure they're all set.
I can't wait to meet him in person. I got to talk with Benito Santos for a long time, who is the head of brand marketing for Arrow McLaren. He and Tony have been friends for a very long time. He used to be Tony's agent. Mm-hmm. And so they have a very close relationship. I am very excited to meet Tony in person. I think he has such an interesting story. I watched this incredible interview with him on Motor Trend that came out a year ago or so. And it's Dinner with Tony Kanaan, Dinner with Racers, Season 6, Episode 1. And he has such an inspiring story. So he grew up in Brazil. His father got him into karting. His father tragically passed away when he was young, like around 13 years old, from cancer. And if it wasn't for the mentorship of a lot of other drivers in the world of motorsport and support, Tony Kanaan would not have a career today. Ayrton Senna being one of them. Tony Kanaan talks about like going to Europe and like racing in Italy and like living in the team's garage because he had nowhere else to live. And just, he is such an inspiration, because there's so many drivers who drive in the series who come from like such immense wealth and privilege, and he is someone that really had to scrape to get to where he is today. And I feel like you see that in how he interacts with people, how he interacts with fans, how he interacts, how he like goes out of his way to mentor young drivers. Like if you watch the 100 Days to Indy, you see his relationship with Pato O'Ward. And I really think whether it's conscious or subconscious, he's trying to pay it forward, given that there were so many people that helped him get to where he is today. And I think him sliding in to the team principal role at Arrow McLaren when Gavin Ward left was sort of like a seamless transition because he was already sort of there helping out. Like he first was just driving the 500 while also sort of being like a technical advisor. And I can't wait to see where he takes Arrow McLaren. I can't wait to see how they do this weekend. And yeah, super pumped.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a really beautiful story of a good luck charm, a medallion that his mother gifted him. His good luck charm that he's had. And then he gifted it to a woman named Andrea Braun, who was in the hospital with a brain hemorrhage and faced a life-threatening surgery the next day. She pulled through. She had it for about 9 years till she gave it back to him and said she had the luck of her life with this. She got married and wanted to give it back to me. And then he won the Indy 500.
I love that story so much.
It's such a beautiful story, and it makes me cry when he tells it on the stream, when you watch the video, when he talks about it. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
this is a Tony Kanaan fan stream. We've changed
100%.
Sorry.
And he's had such an incredible career: Indy Lights champion, IndyCar Series champion, winner of the US 500, winner of the Indy 500, and now he is crushing it as team principal at Arrow McLaren. 100%. Yeah. All right, next storyline, Helio Castroneves attempting to be the first five-time winner and most decorated Indy 500 winner ever. We'll see what happens. You can never count him out.
You can never count him out. And his love for strawberry milk, who would have thought?
Just as long as no one tries to pull out the orange juice like Emerson Fittipaldi did.
Okay, can I actually... Oh, thank you for bringing that up, James. I want everyone to know the whole milk thing is the Indiana Dairy Association propaganda. And I can't believe they made Fittipaldi feel so bad that he used orange juice. If you drink the milk on the podium, you get an extra $10,000. The Indiana Dairy Association has like someone dress up as a cow, and they make it this whole thing. A dairy executive saw, as we all know, one of the winners in the 500 drank buttermilk because his mom said it would cool him down. So an Indy 500 dairy executive saw that and said, we should utilize that to sell milk. And then milk has this whole thing in the United States, for those of you who don't know, that they're at war. There's a lot of legislation that has passed that almond and oat milk are not allowed to call themselves milk when selling and on the bottle. They're allowed to be called dairy alternatives. There's like a whole dairy association pack to make sure that dairy farmers are, one, protected, which is 100%, I get that. Two, to make sure alternative milks are not called milk. There's like a whole thing, okay? This is 100% dairy propaganda.
Ash is a real journalist. She's going after money laundering and she's going after milk propaganda.
I just liked it that he had the orange juice, that this was a nod to who he is. His family owned orange groves. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And they're like, boo, you suck because you didn't use goddamn dairy. Like, get over yourselves. Please.
I thought it had to do with that he was invested in the citrus industry in Brazil and was why he chose orange juice.
That was still a great storyline, too. If that was the case, if that was the only case that it was because he invested money in it, cool.
I made a video recently where I referenced Emerson Fittipaldi, and I was referencing a bunch of different drivers, but instead of showing a picture of Emerson Fittipaldi, I just showed a picture of orange juice.
That's so funny. Did people get upset about that?
No, people thought it was funny.
Okay, good. I just hate when people get so mad about it because you did orange juice instead of milk. And people say tradition when it's not even tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We've been longer without milk than we have with milk.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
All good. For our last storyline, I would love you to talk about Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson, for the second time, is attempting the double. The double is when you race the Indianapolis 500, you jump on a plane, you get to Charlotte Motor Speedway, and then you race the Coca-Cola 600. That is 1,100 miles of racing in one day, from an open wheel IndyCar to a stock car on a yet another oval at Charlotte Motor Speedway. He attempted it last year. It did not work out in his favor. Unfortunately, the Indy 500 was delayed due to weather and rain. He raced in it. He actually did decently well. He unfortunately got caught speeding in the pit lane. Gets the best of us. Then he jumped onto a helicopter, got to Charlotte Motor Speedway, but unfortunately the race was, he was late for some of the laps of the race, and then the race was stopped because of the weather that moved across the country.
Yeah.
So he was unable to complete the double, and he is attempting it again this year. He'll do the 500, hopefully, no delays, jump on the plane, then a helicopter to the 600, and make his way there. The priority, though, is the 600. If there is any weather delays for the 500 yet again, he will go to the 600. NASCAR has made that very clear. They were a little butthurt that he chose the Indy 500 last year, and they have made him promise up, down, left, right, center that he will prioritize the Coke 600.
And if he has to leave and cannot drive in the Indy 500, who is his backup?
Tony Kanaan!
Woo! Let's go!
He's so sick. I want Kyle to complete the double, but also imagine Tony Kanaan jumps in the car and then wins the 500.
That'd be epic.
Kyle Larson would be the second person to complete, not attempt, to complete the double. Tony Stewart has completed it. Others have attempted to do it, but they have not completed all 1,100 miles as because of an incident or the race was postponed, et cetera, et cetera. So he'd be the second person ever to complete the double.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I hope, like my favorite Blind Melon song, there is no rain.
Amazon Prime will be filming him yet again for a documentary on his attempt and hopefully completion of the double, which is really cool. And speaking of Amazon Prime, which is a great segue for this, NASCAR now moves to Amazon Prime for the next five races in the NASCAR Cup Series. Goodbye, Fox. And Prime Video has announced that they are only running commercials in a double box format. This is wild when I talk to other motorsport fans from around the world that in America we have this issue that for the commercials.
So frustrating.
So it'll be a picture-in-picture commercial. They will not do full screen commercials essentially for green flag racing in the NASCAR Cup Series. And this is for green flag racing. So of course if there's a yellow, they might do that. But they said we want to avoid the frustration of being in a full commercial and having something on track happen and fans miss it, which is essentially the crux of the issue that I always have. So appreciate Amazon Prime for knowing that.
Let's do a little prediction, shall we? Not a podium. Let's just do our predictions for who we think is going to win the Indy
500. There is no podium, James. There's only a winner. If you're not first, you're last, okay?
I will say, before going into top 12 qualifying, before the Koalas came out, I thought Scotty Mac was going to put it on pole.
Yeah.
And maybe win the 500. Scott McLaughlin was going to be my prediction. Now that he had that crash in Sunday morning practice and wasn't able to compete in top 12 and is starting P12, I don't love his chances to win. I think Pato O'Ward is going to win the 500 this year. I also love Felix Rosenquist. I've gotten to interview him. I think he's like such a nice dude. He had a great qualifying, made into the Fast Six, is starting on the second row, I believe. But I think this is Pato O'Ward's year.
I like a Pato win, but I obviously don't want to copy you win for win. I would have said Joseph Newgarden. I would have gone for the three-peat.
Yeah.
But that is, as we know, that is not very likely to happen. What I'm going to say is Scott McLaughlin.
You think Scotty Mac's going to win starting from P12?
I think Roger Penske was like, oh, no. We must invest in the number three.
Wow.
We are going all in on this three car, and we're going to win to make up
All in on the Yellow Submarine.
On the Yellow Submarine. One, also I think Scott McLaughlin can do it. But two, I also think Penske can do it, of course. And I think it'd be a fun for them, I guess, a little cheeky middle finger of like, yeah, we got DQ'd, yeah. But also like we won, so.
I like Scott McLaughlin a lot. I think he is such a nice guy. And I also would love to see him win the 500. He is like such an interesting story. For those of you listening, if you're not super familiar with Scott McLaughlin, three-time Australian supercar champion, decided to come over to IndyCar, brand new series, get acquainted, like get sort of acclimated to things. He put it on pole last year at the 500, was not able to convert that into a win, obviously, with Newgarden winning back-to-back. But such a nice guy, such a good driver. Would love to see him win the 500 as well.
Yeah, I think that three is just going to be stout. I expect nothing less than Penske to dump everything into beautifully building that replacement. And they, of course, they're the kind of team that just has spare oval floors and the things that they need to make that car. And I think they want to probably make a statement and come out with it. But yeah, it's really, I mean, the Indy 500 is anyone's game. When it's an oval, I can't really tell you with 100% confidence who's going to win, because it's what happens on ovals is insane, especially the Indy 500.
Totally. Cool. Well, I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you there.
I know. Me and James have never met in person, I think.
Ever. Yeah.
I can't. I'm trying to think of like all the races we've been to at the same time, but we've never met.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever met, so I'm excited to meet you in person and meet your SO, who I think's going with you.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
great. That's going to be super fun. And we will be doing a debrief probably the following Tuesday, because we'll both be traveling Monday to get back home. But y'all, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. We hope you enjoy watching Monaco. We hope you enjoy watching the Coca-Cola 600. But we especially hope you enjoy watching the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. We'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.